Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg lies in repose at the Supreme Court. It is the second day of public viewing. Tomorrow, her casket will lie in state in the Capitol Rotunda. You can hear live NPR coverage of that ceremony tomorrow at 8 on WPR's NPR News and Music Network. So we're talking about her legacy here on The Morning Show, the second woman to serve on the high court. And in her 80s, she became a cultural icon. What did RBG mean to you? Share at 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Welch Bradley first met Ginsburg at a reception in 1989. Justice Bradley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be back.
And we also have Judge Vanessa Ruiz, president of the International Association of Women Judges and a senior judge of the District of Columbia Court of Appeals. Judge Ruiz, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, Judge Ruiz, I understand that you knew Justice Ginsburg and that she had a role in encouraging you to become a judge. Can you tell us the story?
Yes, she did, and I'm happy to share that. That experience, which at this point, of course, is especially meaningful. I first met Justice Ginsburg when she was Judge Ginsburg. This was in the early 90s when she was then a federal judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia in Washington, D.C. And I was still a fairly young judge. And she had followed my career somewhat because I had argued a case before the Supreme Court that I thought she was interested in the sense that it had to do with civil rights for housing. But I think also she was very interested in the fact that there was this young woman judge who was taking this on. And then over the years, we kept in some contact. And until in the late in the 90s, I'm sorry, that was more in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s, she, when she was a judge here in D.C., I was considering whether I should become a judge. And frankly, she was the only person I felt I could reach out to and just ask for her opinion. And which I did, and she was very kind, very generous, and almost in the manner of a guidance counselor, kind of led me through my thinking on how I should approach this question of should I kind of put my hat in the ring to become a judge in Washington, D.C.? We don't have elections. It's by presidential appointment. And whether it would suit me and whether I would suit a judgeship. And she, as I said, was very patient in helping me think it through. And then at the end, she just said, enough of this, Vanessa, just do it. And so I took her advice. And then a couple of years later, I was, in fact, nominated, confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and she did the swearing in. In 94. This was the beginning of her second term on the Supreme Court. So I've always felt very grateful to her for her kindness and for her guidance. And subsequently, through other activities, primarily through women judges associations, both in the U.S. through the National Association of Women Judges and internationally through the International Association of Women Judges, she has been absolutely steadfast, a supporter of women judges in the U.S. and worldwide. She has been a long-time member of both associations and has spoken to our groups and encouraged women judges.
Well, I want to get Justice Bradley in here. Mm-hmm. You met Justice Ginsburg on a few occasions. Which of her qualities stood out most to you?
I think she's known for not only her intellectual capacity, but for her grit, G-R-I-T. I mean, she's a woman who, in her educational experience, had to fight. You know, they were went to Harvard Law School, 500 new admittees, 9 women. She was the first woman on the Harvard Law Review. When she graduated from law school from Columbia, to get her first job as a woman at that time, well, was not an easy thing. She would be relegated to almost secretarial positions or law librarian positions, as were Sandra Day O'Connor, by the way, and Shirley Abrahamson when they first graduated, getting that first job. And then in the 70s, she was a trailblazer in really forming the law on sex discrimination in our country to benefit men and women alike. And then, of course, we can't forget the grit that she displayed with her several battles with cancer.
Cancer.
And, mm-hmm. Always vibrant, always self-deprecating, witty. And those are characteristics I think of when I think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
We're looking at the life and legacy of the late Supreme Court Justice. We have State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley and D.C. Court of Appeals Senior Judge Vanessa Ruiz. What do you think were Justice Ginsburg's chief accomplishments? It's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up this conversation ahead here on the Ideas Network. Mourners from all over have descended on Washington to pay respects to the iconic trailblazing legal pioneer, remembering Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg here on The Morning Show. Her casket will move to the Capitol Rotunda tomorrow, where it will lie in state. We will bring you live NPR coverage tomorrow beginning at 8 on WPR's NPR News and Music Network. What do you remember about Justice Ginsburg? What would you like to share? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. We have Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley and Judge Vanessa Ruiz, president of the International Association of Women Judges. They stay with us. Judge Ruiz, I want to look a little more closely at what parts of her career resonate with you. I mean, we've talked about her pioneering at Harvard and Columbia and being that civil rights attorney and a dissenting justice. What part of that, of those dissents, stick out to you?
Well, one of the dissents, of course, that is most important, I think, and especially as we head into an election, was in her dissent in the Shelby County case, in which the Supreme Court decided to suspend the requirement that certain states have election laws, and particularly if they were deemed to be restrictive and requirements to be pre-approved by the Justice Department. And she dissented from that, thinking that those protections had been absolutely important to safeguard the vote, especially among minority populations in the U.S. The majority seemed to think that, well, we haven't seen these kinds of problems for a while, and so we don't think that it is necessary to have the protections, the legal protections in place. And she said, as she many times said, with a very biting wit and just incredibly realistic and practical, she said, that's like saying throwing away your umbrella in the middle of a rainstorm because you think you might not need it in the future. And of course, we'll soon see whether her prediction was right, that these safeguards are necessary to protect the all-important right to vote.
Justice Bradley, are there any Ginsburg decisions or dissents that stand out to you or changed how you think about the law?
Well, I want to follow up on what Judge Ruiz said in the Shelby County case, because that case really changed, I think, the view of people around the country and around the world about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. As a result of that case, that's where this whole notorious RBG comes from. I think, you know, we were in a stage where there was a real hunger for integrity and for leadership in fighting what was perceived as an erosion of civil rights. And so this new generation of young women came along and branded her the notorious RBG. And of course, now kids dress up for Halloween as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and their tattoos and pillows and mugs with her face on upon them and books. So she really, that decision really catapulted this whole new sense about who she is and about what the Supreme Court is and can be about. One of my favorite dissents is the Lilly Ledbetter case. You may recall that, where that was a pay discrimination, Ledbetter versus a Goodyear tire. And you have Lilly Ledbetter, who was a manager in the company, and she had trained some, and after years working there, someone stuck a piece of paper in her mailbox with lots of figures on it. And lo and behold, is what was the other managers in the same work that she was doing, what they were making, and she was making 40% less. And so you have the Lilly Ledbetter case. The lone dissenter, as I recall, was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she ended that dissent saying, okay, I think the court doesn't quite get this sense of invidious discrimination, but the ball is now in the court of the Congress. And indeed, a couple of years later, Congress overwhelmingly passed the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. So that's, I think, one of my favorite dissents.
We're talking with State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley and D.C. Court of Appeals Judge Vanessa Ruiz about Ginsburg's legacy. News is next. Stay with us for this conversation here on the Ideas Network. We're remembering the life and legacy of the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg here on The Morning Show. In remarks yesterday, Chief Justice John Roberts, he described Justice Ginsburg as a symbol of the American dream. When she spoke, people listened.
Among the words that best describe Ruth, tough, brave, a fighter, a winner, but also thoughtful, careful, compassionate, honest.
What words describe RBG for you? Our conversation right here, 800-642-1234. We have State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley and the president of the International Association of Women Judges, Judge Vanessa Ruiz, who stay with us. Judge Ruiz, as president of the Association of Women Judges, you come in contact with judges from all over the world. Can you tell us about the stature that Ginsburg has with these judges?
Yes, and I'm happy that you've asked me that question, because as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley mentioned, the notorious RBG phenomenon, I don't know what else it could be called, transcended the law, the judiciary, legal circles in the U.S. to really go throughout society, and especially was an incredible inspiration, I think, and a spur for young girls to have someone to look up to, someone that they can hope to emulate. But her impact is so much broader than in the United States. It is really worldwide. The International Association of Women Judges has over 6,200 members in more than 100 countries, and 56 associations of women judges are affiliated with the International Association. And I can assure you that every one of those members and every one of those associations knows Justice Ginsburg, appreciates Justice Ginsburg, and in some way probably has come into contact with her, either not always personally, but some have done so personally through our conferences and meetings, but many through just having read about her or through communications that our association itself would put out about her. I recall being in a conference in Spain last year. I was a regional conference of members from Europe, the Middle East and North Africa. And people are making presentations at this conference, and of course they are prepared ahead of time. They're very thoughtful presentations. In about three or four of those presentations being made by judges from different countries in different languages, just as Ginsburg was quoted.
Wow.
She just had a great impact. I participate regularly in a WhatsApp chat group of women judges throughout Latin America. And I can tell you this past week has all been about Justice Ginsburg, what she meant, how people are committed to following her lead, how inspired and energized they always were by her, and how much her death means. I mean, I can tell you, I just feel this hole. You know, yeah. It's like, what happened? We knew that she had been struggling with cancer for so long and so courageously, but you kind of hoped that she would always be there and continue to fight that good fight that she carried on for so many years. And just one other thing I wanted to say in terms of her impact, but also she was very much aware of, after a while, of how her image had changed and enlarged and of the impact that she would have on other people. And she cared about making sure that it was being used for good and that she was using her ability to reach people in a positive way and to lift others up and to encourage them. At one of our conferences where she was going to be participating, she asked specifically that she did not want to just be interviewed, you know, by or be part of a panel with other Supreme Court justices or be interviewed by some highly respected academic. She certainly did that many, many times. What she wanted was to be interviewed, to be asked questions by younger, newer women judges.
Oh, she wanted to pave the
advice.
Way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what she wanted to dedicate her time to during that conference.
We're talking with Judge Vanessa Ruiz of the District of Columbia Court of Appeals and Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. And we're remembering the life and legacy of the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg with you as well at 800-642-1234. Justice Bradley, I wish for you for a moment to look inward at Wisconsin Supreme Court, which has the highest percentage of female justices, 6 out of 7, of any state Supreme Court. How do you think that representation has maybe made a difference in the way the court looks at cases or the chemistry of the court?
Well, I think in part it makes a difference by our very presence. You know, we have, as indicated, the highest percentage of women sitting as justices on our state Supreme Court. The state of Washington has 9 justices, and they have 7 out of the 9 women. But I think it makes a difference in several ways. I know that Sandra Day O'Connor often was quoted as saying, listen, a well-reasoned opinion by a man and a well-reasoned opinion by a woman makes no difference. But it makes a difference in this sense. Who's at the table? What kind of life experience we bring to the conversation makes a difference. And I think that, you know, here I am, I'm a wife, a mother of 4 children, grandmother. Those kinds of life experiences make a difference. And they happen to be my life experiences. I think that when I say that, I think of actually Justice Rehnquist and his story that Ruth Bader Ginsburg tells about Rehnquist. Rehnquist, early on in the early days of her trailblazing cases, publicly would refer to himself as a male chauvinist. And yet, after he, many years on the court, and with the influence of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, his wife was ill, had cancer, and he was her caretaker. And after she passed away, and then his daughter was divorced, and often Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, he would have to leave the court in order to pick up his grandchildren from childcare. And that experience, she says, really changed him. And he was, I think he wrote the decision in the Family Leave Act when the constitutionality of part of that was challenged. And so that's just an example of our life experiences. But it also gives, I think, a sense of legitimacy. People can see that a court isn't just all men and shouldn't be, in my opinion, although Ginsburg said the best court would be, or she's waiting for the day there would be 9 women on the U.S. Supreme Court. I think diversity is exceedingly important on a court so that people can see what's possible. And that's true by looking at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Young women will see that doors can be opened and eyes can be opened as to what is possible.
Judge Ruiz, I'm wondering, you know, Ginsburg was known for her friendships with conservative judges like Justice Antonin Scalia at a time when, you know, our politics have become so polarized. Is our justice system losing that collegiality? Does that matter?
Oh, it matters greatly, especially on collegial courts. And as Justice Bradley just said, diversity on a court is important. Part of the reason why it's important, one is kind of how it looks to the world, but the other is because I think our decisions are better for it when there are more perspectives that are brought to bear on an issue and on a problem, just because people bring their different life experiences to bear and different philosophies. And it also exerts a moderating influence on what courts do. I think there have been studies that show that when people, judges, all of whom are appointed or elected or on a certain, or are perceived as being more conservative or liberals, they tend to gravitate more towards one end of the other, depending on how many people are, you know, share the same view. So again, the need to come to mutual decisions has a moderating influence on the outcome, and I think that on the whole is a good thing to do. And as you said, Justice Ginsburg was very good friends with Justice Scalia, and on many occasions they disagreed vehemently, and Justice Scalia could be quite vehement in his opinions, including about her, about Justice Ginsburg's writings. In fact, I was just reading through the VMI case. That's the case, U.S. versus Virginia, that had to dealt with the all-male, long-standing male-only admission policy of the Virginia Military Institute, and it was one of the first opinions, big opinions, that Justice Ginsburg wrote on the Supreme Court. And it followed from the work that she had done as a lawyer, and it struck down as unconstitutional that male-only admissions policy because she said that the state of Virginia, which runs the VMI, had not met what she called an exceedingly persuasive, had not made an exceedingly persuasive justification for its sex-based admissions policy, and therefore it violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, because she said that they just were not providing an equal institution for women that provided the same kinds of benefits. But really what she was saying is, you know, the separation itself implies an inequality. And Justice Scalia wrote, was the only dissenter, and he wrote a very strong dissent criticizing Justice Ginsburg's opinion. However, she subsequently would comment that one of the things that he did is that he provided her with a draft copy of his dissent as quickly as he could, so that she would then be able to respond to it in her majority opinion.
Well, thank you.
And she commented that he, when he did that, he completely ruined her weekend. But that her opinion is ever so much better because of his stinging dissent.
Oh, well, thank
you. So you
can
see how
both
they had intellectual and jurisprudential disagreements, and very, very sharp disagreements.
Thank you both for joining us. We are short on time here. That is Judge Vanessa Ruiz, president of the International Association of Women Judges. And we had Ann Welsh Bradley, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.